Blog Talk Radio.
Warriors, come out to play. Warriors, come out to play.
Listen to Inside the Park. Inside the park. The RSG family. My usual suspects with me. Hot baseball topic. We're just going to jump right into it. I always tell them.
Gambling.
What do
you think about gambling?
It's
not gambling when you know you're
going to
win.
He's not coming out late. The RSG family. You're listening to Inside the Park. Inside the park. All right. Welcome back to another week of Inside the Park. We've got the full rotation with us this week. We got Hank and it hitting in the usual batting order. Mike's off his one game suspension for testosterone use. Welcome back, Mike.
Thanks. Feels good. Hopefully, there's no adverse health, downfalls to it. But I'm pretty buff.
Yeah, we were looking for the steroids to increase your performance. So I hope you're gonna bring it this week.
Yeah, I don't know if it increases my ability to be a Tiger fan, if that's what you're hoping for. But, we'll see what we can do.
All the Tigers are clean. Come on now. Well, yeah, we want to welcome everybody to all the listeners. Welcome back. We got a live show for you. Want to get started with a little bit of comedy relief. I caught wind of this browsing on the Internet. Nick Swisher. The Yankees' beloved right fielder, he came out, or through his agent, I should say, came out and said, he's entering free agency, looking for a new deal. Teams that are lining up for Nick Swisher services, be prepared to give him Jason Worth money. For those of you who don't know, Jason Worth is on a 7-year contract for $126 million, which looked like a massive overpay when Jason Worth got it. Nick Swisher... don't think he's Jason Worth, but maybe I'm crazy. Mike, why don't you jump on in there? You got any thoughts on Nick Swisher looking for a 7-126?
Yeah, I do. And you know what? I agree with you. When I first heard that, obviously that was silly money and stupid money that they're talking about. Now, Jason Worth in his walk here was 31, and we may have read the same article. I don't know. But Nick Swisher is the same age at this point. So, but the stats that he's put up over the last 4 or 5 years have been comparable to some of the biggest sluggers in the game. So whether that's Fielder, Pujols, whatnot, in the fact that he's hit, I believe it's 25 home runs and a certain amount of RBIs over the last couple of years, it is a pretty select group. And Swisher just doesn't get a lot of acclaim for that, but he's been really, really, really productive. I think what hurts him is that he's an average, if not below average, defensive player. He's not viewed as a guy who can carry a team. And I think Jason Worth is a great example of, if you're going to pay that money, make sure that guy can carry the team for you. But I see him getting maybe a 3-year deal, a 4-year deal. He's making $10 million now, so I could see somebody putting $10, $12 million on him for 3 years, 3-year, $36 million. But if I was trying to think of comps for him, just logical comps, not necessarily going off the stats, and guys that you think about these sluggers that are kind of second fiddle sluggers. So I think of Josh Willingham for the Twins, who could never kind of take that role before this year. I think of a Ryan Ludwig maybe a couple of years ago when he was at the Cardinals, and now the resurgence of guys that you say, well, okay, pretty good numbers, but you just don't think of them as top tier guys. So I tell you, he's going to get multiple years from somebody other than the Yankees, but I can't see it for more than 3 or 4.
7126 is another stratosphere. That's funny money, as we like to call it. And you know, what strikes me is it's always troubling when the team that you're on is not really lining up to give you what you want. That may be a bit of a red flag. Hank, what are your thoughts on Swisher's asking price?
Well, I'm going to tell you, before I get to Swisher, I want to know that why is it these players are taking this banned substance and they all still look like panda bears in their body shape? It's not working. But going back to Nick Swisher, listen, when you look at Nick Swisher, all you have to look at it, for the money that he's asking for are the moves that the Yankees made this year. Nick Swisher asking for this much money clearly didn't stop the Yankees from going to get Ichiro Suzuki, a aging player, and that hurts his market value. Actually, you know, when you look at his career numbers, you like he's a solid ball player, true enough, but he's got decent power numbers, but he doesn't hit for much average. I think I checked, he was a 255 career hitter. And that doesn't bode well for him going out asking for this kind of money. Plus, you also got to look at what Jason Worth is asked to do for the Nationals. He's asked to carry that team. He's asked to be the veteran presence on a young team. You know, he's got playoff experience. That's not the case with a Nick Swisher, okay, a solid ball player. But he's not even the fifth or sixth name you think of when you think of the New York Yankees. I'm right in line with Mike there. If he's talking about a salary, or he's talking about a contract, he's going to get more of what Johnny Damon signed for, I would think, with the Indians versus anybody else. You know, he would probably fit in well with one of these other younger teams. But then again, you're still just talking about an average, you know, solid ball player versus a superstar, and he's asking for superstar money.
So we're all in agreement here. Nick Swisher, seven years, contract, get out of here. No way, right?
I couldn't see. I can't, in clear conscience, if I'm a GM and I'm looking out here, at first and foremost, you're looking at some of the young outfielders that teams are just bringing up early. You know, and you're looking at it, a transition in baseball right now. We've talked about it all season, about these young players coming up and they're making impacts on these teams early. You are a 10-year player like a Nick Swisher, okay? You're not a leader per se, and now you're asking for this kind of money. I don't see a GM, you know, investing that kind of money on a player that, like we always talked about, you know, he'll be, what, 39, 40 years old at the end of a contract. You're not going to do that, not for a marginal player.
All right, good. So I'm not bugging out here. Let's go on from Nick Swisher to another guy that may or may not be looking for a contract. News broke this week that Roger Clemens is going to be pitching Saturday in an independent league game. He's going to be playing for the Sugar Land Skeeters. I don't know where Sugar Land is or what state he's in. I would probably guess Texas. But, Hank, what are you making of this? Clemens, what is he, 50 years old, pitching for the Sugar Land Skeeters?
See, this is your comedy relief right here. This is what you should have started with. You're looking for something funny. This is damn near laughable. I mean, this, you should be rolling around on the ground cracking up at this one. You know, they asked him, too. They said, so, Roger, you're looking for something? Well, you know, we're going to try to get through Saturday. You know what? That's like we're playing a beer league softball game, and I got to get through tomorrow. Roger Clemens, nobody's going to, you know, I can't see. I would shoot the general manager is talking about signing Roger Clemens right now. 50 years old. He ain't on the juice. Whether he got found for it or not, we know what's up with that, okay? And why would you want to deal with his antics, okay? And why would you want to bring that into your clubhouse, you know? I think, you know, as much as we love baseball when you get older, sometimes it's time to, you know, put the glove down, a.k.a. Jamie Moyer. You know, the time is done. If you want to go out here and do it, the only reason why it's getting any press at all is because it's Roger Clemens. No, I wouldn't sign him. I wouldn't sign him to carry the balls on the field.
So, Hank, do you think this is Clemens trying to make inroads back into the majors, or is he just trying to get one last outing in? Do you think he wants to come back?
I think, you know what, you have to look at Roger Clemens as a whole. I think in his mind, he thinks he's still 27 years old. Yeah, I think he wants to come back.
I think that if it was as simple as him just going out here and just giving it a shot, he would have said so. But if anybody's going to, you know, be stupid enough to talk to him, he's going to listen. Yeah, he's trying to get back in. He's trying to save his legacy.
Mike, Roger Clemens, do you think this is a situation where, I mean, Clemens may be a bit delusional in how people perceive him, and he's thinking, hey, I beat this case. The fans want me. I need to come back into it. What do you think is going on in his head?
I would imagine it's about ego, you know. It's tough to pitch in front of 40,000 people every night and then pitch in front of your wife and your two kids. You know, so when, you know, why walk away from that if you don't have to? And if he's still got the ability to go out and pitch, more power to him. I don't care. I would imagine the guy's got some money still. Could be wrong. So I don't think it's motivated from there. I think he's going, hey, if I still have the ability to be a major league pitcher, great. Let me do it. Now, where can he pitch? That's probably a better question. You don't see him breaking into a starting lineup or starting rotation of a quality team. But if I told you he was going to go start for Houston next year as their number four guy and it would help him draw fans, does that make sense?
I mean, as a sideshow, if you want to turn it into that, I guess.
Yeah,
guys,
I mean,
you're talking about a 50-year-old Roger Clemens. Okay, we're not talking about a guy that, you know, just was out for a couple of years. The man is past his prime. Okay, and I'm sorry. I mean, it to me is nothing but a sideshow. You know, you might as well bring in the clowns and the balloons and the elephants. It's a circus. That's not where you go. And I don't, even if you're the Houston Astros, you don't go there.
He's topping out at 87 miles per hour. That's not the rocket we've come to know and appreciate.
But that's not what he's selling, right? He's selling a guy who can go out there and be a number four starter. And I don't want him on my team, don't get me wrong. But I'm saying take the name off the back of the uniform and the age and whatnot and say you got a guy who can come up here and be a crafty pitcher, throw 87, throw off-speed stuff, move the ball around, get some guys out, bring some people to your park. What's wrong with that?
What's wrong with it is he's off the juice. Okay, you're going to get a Roger Clemens that's filtered. Okay,
but
every bit like he's 50 years old, if not older, in my opinion.
Why does that matter that he's 50 or that he's not the Roger Clemens he was before? Think about the replacement player. If the Astros went out and signed Randy Wolf, would you be happier?
Be happy with any of them. But I'm saying if I'm trying to build a franchise, build my baseball team, you know, if Roger Clemens coming out there right now is taking a roster spot from somebody that I need to be looking at down the road. Not in, you know, the 6 to 8 weeks he's going to, you know, dominate the airways. You know, and once he's gone, then I've got to start from square one. That just, to me, make sense.
True. But how much of this is a guy who just can't walk out of the limelight, you know, who loves the attention, who was a superstar for 20 years, and that's tough to walk away from, right?
Go ahead.
That's what I'm asking you, Mike, is this, do you think he has any awareness as to what people think of Clemens? Because I don't know a lot of people who are still Clemens fans who are clamoring to still see this guy pitch, but I don't know that Clemens sees that. I think that he's coming from a perspective of, hey, I beat this case. The people need me. They want to see me, so let me go out here. Do you see that at all in Clemens?
First of all, he's from Texas. He grew up there, went to the University of Texas. He's a legend. I tell you what, if Nolan Ryan strapped on a pair of spikes and went out to pitch, people would pay to see that, and they'll pay to see Roger Clemens. He's without the steroids and getting into that conversation, he's a Hall of Fame pitcher for a long time that people never got a chance to see are now fans and old enough to go see him. You go see Roger Clemens. If Michael Jordan unretired next year, would you go? Or would you not?
People love Jordan. People love Nolan Ryan. I don't know if people still love Roger Clemens.
But they know him. I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. To me, it's all about his ego. And if you got a big ego, you don't care what other people think because you care about what you think.
right. Hank, did you want? Were you trying to jump in there?
Yeah, because here's my thing with the whole Clemens piece, okay? Even when Clemens was pitching, even before this whole steroid thing really broke crazy, you know, he was starting to get a stigma of being a hothead and being a nasty, you know, type of player on the field and off the field. So now you bring that back after all of this stuff. I think it's going to more or less become a media circus. You're absolutely right. People are going to come out just to see. You know, just like people watch a train wreck or people watch a car accident. They're going to come out and see Roger Clemens and see what he does. But, you know, by and large, if you're talking to, and you're right, RJ, this ain't nothing about it but about his ego, and he is delusional. He thinks people want to come and see him. But, you know, not for the reasons that he thinks that they want to come and see him. They want to ask the questions. They want to do all these different things. And pitching actually becomes you know, an afterthought. You know, the game becomes an afterthought. And again, if you're a GM, do you take that risk for the 4 to 6 weeks that, you know, he decides to be on your roster, and then he says, I'm done, I hang it up? Now you really kind of put yourself in alerts, because that's all he did. Then he goes and uses your franchise, and you know it's not worth the risk, in my opinion, if I'm a GM, not for the Roger Clemens circus.
Yeah, I just went to the Skeeter website. They are in Houston. And they've already got Roger Clemens jerseys up for sale, people. So you can line on up, get your Roger Clemens jersey. And it looks like Gary Gaetti is the manager. Gary Gaetti from the Twins. He's the manager of the Skeeters.
Wow.
There you go. A little water cooler trivia for you tomorrow.
There you go.
all right. So let's go ahead and go for the cycle here. We got another contract. Starlin Castro, the Cubs' young shortstop, just signed a 6-year, $70 million contract. Starlin Castro, one of the bright spots in that Cubs rotation. But let me ask you guys, with the roster in a flux the way the Cubs are, they don't know who they're keeping, what they're doing right now. They're trying to really just get some good major league ball players. Was this the right time to sign Starlin Castro to a 6-year deal, do you think, Mike?
So I would tell you, from the Cubs' perspective, absolutely it was the right time to sign Starlin Castro. Now, they for purely economical reasons, if you can believe that, I believe they got a discount in the same way that the Pirates got a discount with McCutchen by signing him early. I would tell you from Castro's point of view, I think he signed too early. I think he had another year before arbitration. I think that would have been after the 2013 season. He would have easily gotten $10 million in arbitration. All-star shortstop, putting up good numbers. You expect him to get better. So for him to sign for a little bit less than $9 million a year, I think, man, if he would have held out, he would have got it would have been $12 million a year starting. And from the Cubs' perspective, I was talking to a buddy today about this. You know, the guy's, 21, 22 years old right now. So what prospect are you getting back for Starlin Castro that is going to be as young as him and as a sure thing as him at this point? I don't know who you can get back. So when people talk about trading Starlin Castro for the future, Starlin Castro is the future, and he is going to be there for 5, 6, 7 years. And he's still only going to be 27, 28 years old. So I think it was a great time and a great deal for the Cubs. Castro cost himself a little bit of money, but he got it guaranteed. So, you know, I guess when someone offers you $70 million, you take it.
Yeah, isn't it 6 years, 70? So that's actually like 11.6 mil a year average.
I thought it was 7 and 60.
I think it's the other way around, 6 years, 70.
Okay.
Yeah,
still, so. I mean, that's... You figure, what's he going to get arbitration in 2 years putting up these numbers, especially the way salaries are inflating? You know, that's $12, $13, $14 million a year. But it's fine. Yeah, like I said, he got some security there. I think the Cubs got a little bit of a discount. And it was the right move to keep him.
Yeah, you know, you brought up my follow-up question there when you said you don't see them getting the return in the trade. I guess the team would have to part with, you know, one of their top prospects and probably a B-level prospect as well. But, you know, there's no guarantee that those two guys will pan out.
Right.
When you're getting prospects, yeah.
He's 18 years old. for you to feel like you're getting value and extra years out of it from trading Starlin Castro. The kid's 21.
Yeah. Yeah. Hank, what are your thoughts on Starlin Castro's deal?
I think it was a brilliant move by Theo Epstein. I mean, you know, you've got an all-star catcher, and I think you're right. With Mike saying, you know, he could have got a lot more in arbitration, but this is what you do when you're a crafty GM. You go, you sign the players you already know you want to keep, and you get them there, and you start building your team there. I think that, again, you know, you're talking about, you know, from the GM point of view, what you have to do to build a ball club, and Epstein has got experience in that with what he did with the Red Sox, and he knows what he's going to keep. And, you know, you talk about a lot of the disarray that's going on with the Cubs roster. I don't think it's as much as disarray as we all think. But I think that what you see there is I've signed my young shortstop for multiple years while I continue this building process, while I put some pieces around him. And at least that's one piece I don't have to worry about getting. So, again, I think it was brilliant on the Cubs' part to sign him right now.
Okay, let me throw this out here to you, fellas. Starlin Castro, he hits for average, good average hitter. He's got a little bit of pop, probably get a little more as he matures. But he's had these mental lapses in the field. If he's your shortstop on your squad, are you happy with him? Are you happy that they locked him up?
Well, let's go back to what we just talked about, okay? 21 years old, okay? He's not going to come in this year and be Mike Trout. That's an aberration, okay? But you see the upside there, all right? So, yeah, if I'm the Chicago Cubs, I'm not in playoff contention this year. I'm not going to be in playoff contention next year and probably won't be in playoff contention in 2015. So, you know, this kid gets a chance to develop, you know, in the scheme of how baseball is and looking at what he has and what would you be able to develop with him. Then, yes, I am happy with it. Now, does he have lapses right now? Of course. But we talked about this with other players. You know, when you got young players like that, you got to get them to when they're 25, 26 years old, where they're at their peak, and you're going to go through some stuff like that when you have these young players.
And Mike, you're cool with the mental lapses. I mean, the guy forgets what out we're in. He, you know, sometimes he's not hustling out there. You're happy if he's a Cardinals, the Red shortstop of the future.
Yeah, he's a young kid. He's dynamic, does a lot of stuff on the field, keeps his nose clean for the most part. Absolutely.
Oh. Then you have that case pending, the sexual assault case pending.
I said mostly, didn't I?
I don't know if that's mostly. That's a pretty big deal.
Actually, no, I think that got dropped, to be honest with you. I believe that was dropped. Yeah, there may have been some cash on the side, but that was dropped. And I did check his 7 years, $60 million was the first reported. I don't know if it's official yet, but so just under $9 million a year.
Yeah, that's a pretty good bargain if it's $9 million a year.
It is. And Trump, you know, why wouldn't you? He's giving you offense from a position and they still need to draw. And so one of the things that I don't know if people realize with the Cubs is, maybe not right now, but within a couple of years, they're going to get Soriano's contract off the books. And this is a big market team with money to spend and the ability to go out there and sign free agents. So if you look at some of the building blocks that they have to go off with Bitters, Rizzo, Barney at second base, Castro, they've got some good pieces there. They need to fill in with some veterans here or there. They need to get better in their pitching staff. But I really don't think that they're a long way off from being a competitive team. And so, you know, if you've got Castro in there for the next 7 years, I would say within the next three, the Cubs have a legitimate chance of contending.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, fellas, we're going to put on our GM caps now. I want to know, you guys are GMs over whatever squad you want. Who's the next young player that you lock up? I mean, we're seeing all these teams locking up their good players so that they don't lose them. As soon as free agency hits, they're trying to buy up all their prime years right up to their prime. Who's that next star you're locking up, Mike?
Giancarlo Stanton. That's my guy. And if I'm not locking him up, I'm trading for him if I'm the Reds. I love that guy. Good player.
And why?
Why? I think he's a middle of the order hitter. He's young, plays some good defense, can hit for average, and I think he's just going to get better at what he's doing. So that's the guy I'm signing. And I think he's eligible for arbitration. It may be after this year. No, it's after next year. He's got one more year, I believe. So you're going to start paying him anyway, and that's got to be part of the decision, right? You're not only buying out maybe a year or two of free agency, but you're avoiding the whole arbitration process. So I think he's as good a target as any.
Okay. Yeah, I think I read that the Marlins want to start talking extension with Giancarlo. I don't know if he's ready to, but the Marlins definitely want to talk, try to lock him up before he continues his ascension to greatness. Hank, who are you locking up?
I think it's obvious. I think you go and you sign Mike Trout to a 10-year deal yesterday. I think that there's your outfielder for the next 10 years plus. You don't want him to get to arbitration because what he may, you know, what he may get in arbitration, you may not be able to afford. And again, you know, you see enough from a young player. You don't even concern yourself with the sophomore jinx as they have in baseball, simply because he's got all the tools. You know, and so if it's me, I'm signing him right now, today, and I'm not going to even let it go any further.
So you've seen enough, not even a full year, you're going to lock him up?
Again, you have to look at, sometimes we look a lot at the numbers. You look at everything that this kid has. He has speed. You know, he can play defense. He can hit. He can hit for five tools, okay? Yeah, you lock him up. You know, he's already seen what you've seen in 100 games. Okay, he hasn't let down. He's had his peaks and valleys, but he has not really let down. He's been a consistent player. You go ahead and say that's enough. Let's get that off the let's get that out the way. You don't even want him coming up for contract, so you want to get him out the way. So yeah.
Okay, I'm.
I believe that Trout's probably a better player than Stanton, but if I'm the Angels, I want him to prove it a little bit. Simply because I'm guaranteed that he's making almost no money this first year, the second year, and then in that third year maybe you buy him out. Because right now you'd be paying the most. You're buying at the peak, right? Peak value.
Right.
He's been absolutely amazing. You've seen nothing but great performance from him, but you're not getting any kind of discount. And to me, the idea of throwing, what's it going to take, $15 million a year for this guy? I mean, that's a lot. I may get him on the cheap for a year before I sign him.
I mean, why would you have to go that high? I mean, he's still a rookie. I mean, and wouldn't you use? Wouldn't that be the leverage? Or
it would. Right. You're right. That would be the leverage. So if he would accept, I agree. If he would accept $12-13 million a year for 10 years, but if you're him, why would you do that? Right. You put up numbers compared to Pujols. You got Pujols on your team making $30 million a year in a couple years. You know, what would you settle for?
But that's my point, though. See, you're on a team with a bunch of veterans, okay? And you and to me, it's like, okay, let's see if we can't, you know, manipulate this a little bit to our favor. Now, I hear what you're saying. You can weigh it out. You can roll a dice and hope that he comes back down to earth next year or the year after that. But if he doesn't, then you run the risk of a $15 million a year contract or greater. Versus you can use that rookie leverage and say, listen, you know, that was a great year, but you only played 100-plus ball game. It wasn't a full season. But we've seen enough that we want to go ahead and try to sign you for this. Now, if he's got him a hell of a agent, you may not get it. But you stand a better chance of getting him at 10-11 right now versus if he continues to play like this, which I believe he does, he can. You know,
right.
you're looking at a $15-17 million contract down the road.
Yeah, and I would clarify. If you can get him for $10-11 million, you lock him up right now. I would agree with that. To me, that's a good bet.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what I think Mike is saying is, you know, you can't forget Trout has to agree to the contract. And I think if you're trying to lock him up, Trout knows his value as well. And he's probably not going to agree to a $10 million a year contract because he knows he's probably worth more than that. And if he goes out and consistently proves it, his numbers are going to go up and up.
So you're right.
You got to come in and remember that he's going to agree to.
I agree, but what I'm saying is you can use what other what other players were signed for. You know, you signed a Prince Fielder to what was it? A 10-12 year contract for $12-13 million. Okay, you were able to do that. You know, with Mike Trout, you're rolling the dice again. You got a younger player, but what I'm saying to you is that. If you've got a player that young that's got that kind of tool, the only leverage you're going to have right now is the fact that he's a rookie. Because if you roll the dice and he is this, if he's not this good, then you don't have this issue, okay? But if he is, he's going to command the richest contract out there, and with arbitration, he's going to get it. That's why I'm saying that if you can do it, you would do it now.
I guess I would add to that one thing that I agree with you that you've got some leverage there because, you know, it hasn't been in that long. But to me, the stronger leverage is this, that he's under baseball wage cap right now. So first-year players, I believe, get something like $400,000, $300,000. Second-year players get a little bump, maybe $300,000, $400,000. So the leverage is if you sign now, you become a multi-millionaire right now.
Right.
And it's speed, right?
Right.
That, to me, is the leverage.
Yeah, but it could be a situation where he says, you know, well, just give me a 3 or 4 year deal so that I can come back and get another contract when I'm really about to, you know, hit my prime.
Right, and actually the minimum would be a 5 year deal because there's no way they'd sign him to a deal that would cut off arbitration years, right? So
right.
If you sign him to a 4 year deal that you've just made him a free agent early. So, you know, a 5 year deal would be the minimum at this point.
Yeah, it's interesting stuff. I tend to agree with you, Mike. I'm locking up Stanton solely because, I mean, he's a young power hitter. And we're seeing across the league, power numbers are down. So if I can get a guy who's, you know, just murdering the ball. I don't know if you guys saw that ball he hit in Colorado, went 494 feet. But, power hitters are rare these days, so I'm locking up any young power that I have, and Stanton would be my guy as well. So there it is, Stanton, Trout, you know, take your pick. Let's go ahead and pay some bills real quick.
Now we're going to get into our Resistance Digital Dog of the Week. Resistance Digital Solutions. Are you tired of running to the boys in blue? Are you done with listening to sales staff trying to upsell you technology that you don't need? We've all been there. So, what did the real sports guys do? We contacted Resistance Digital Solutions for all our technology needs. They are not there to meet sales quotas or make profit margins. They simply just want to sell you what you need at a fair price. From iPads to PCs to flat screens, TVs, or intricate home theater systems, they customize every solution based on your needs. Check out their website at www.resistancedigital.com or email them at sales@resistancedigital.com for your custom technology solutions today.
Dog of the week. Hank, why don't you lead us off, bro?
Okay, you know, I'm going to leave the obvious one for Mike because I know he wants the young man from the Reds AA teams. I'm going to give you that one, Mike. I'm going a little bit off the board a little bit. I'm going with Dr. Frank Jobe. Now, if you don't know who Dr. Frank Jobe is, Dr. Frank Jobe, back in the early 70s, performed the first collateral ligament reconstruction surgery, ulnar collateral ligament reconstruction surgery. For those of you who don't know what that is the medical term for Tommy John surgery. The reason why I'm making Dr. Jobe my dog of the week is because if it wasn't for that first successful surgery to Tommy John's arm, that players of today such as Carl Crawford, such as Brian Wilson, Josh Tomlin, and even the Nats' Steven Strasburg wouldn't be playing anymore. They wouldn't be playing anymore. And there's many, many more beyond that that's had this surgery and they'd be able to come back. This has become the ACL surgery of baseball. You know, when football players used to get this injury on their knees, the ACL, they were done. Same thing with this injury for baseball. So because of this and because there's been so many players this year that's gone out with this surgery, Dr. Frank Jobe, you are my dog of the week.
Hank, you might be my dog of the week for mentioning Josh Tomlin on the show. That may be the first and last time Josh Tomlin ever gets mentioned.
That's the only reason why.
Wow. Mike, who's your dog of the week, man?
All right, so I'm gonna make this a carryover. In fact, and actually, Hank, I'm going to stay away from the guy you talked about, although he's a great pick. I vow to stay away from my own team when it goes to that. And my dog of the week is going to be a guy who really has carried his team the last couple weeks through adversity, had a real down first part of the year, and that's Buster Posey. Since the All-Star break, basically, this guy is OPS and at a 1,200 pace. He's looked like an MVP, and my apologies if you guys picked him last week, but just really carrying that team. The Giants are out to a game-and-a-half lead now over the Dodgers. And to kind of further the point we were talking about what these guys pay or make, Buster Posey's in the third year of his major league service, so I believe the last year before he's arbitration eligible, he makes $600,000. That's it. That's one of the ways that major league teams kind of keep that payroll down, but Buster Posey's been fantastic. He's my dog of the week.
Yeah, his arbitration contract is going to be insane if they don't lock him up. A catcher hitting like that, look out. So I guess I'll take the low-hanging fruit if nobody's going to jump on him. The guy that Mike and Hank has been alluding to is Billy Hamilton, the speedster in the Reds minor league organization. Kudos to Billy Hamilton. He broke Vince Coleman's record just yesterday, and there's still plenty of season left to go. This guy has 146 stolen bases already, and we're not even through September yet. So Billy Hamilton, dog of the week, and I'll go ahead and take the liberty of throwing another a team out there as well. Trivia question for the fellas. You guys know which Major League team has the best record since the All-Star break? Nobody.
My guess would be the Reds because they've had that, but it could have gone by the wayside. Is it the Rockies?
Is it who?
The Rockies? The Mariners?
Yeah, the Seattle Mariners. I mean, nobody ever talks about them. They have the best record since the All-Star break. I think they're actually creeping up into the wild card because I think they're 7 games out. And God knows where they were before the All-Star break, but they were way out of it. So salute to the Mariners for creeping up on everybody and, trying to make a run of this thing late in the game. So Billy Hamilton and Seattle Mariners is where I'm going with it. And now we couldn't get through the whole show without talking about it. We touched on this guy last week, but as the story keeps unfolding, this story gets crazier and crazier, and we've got another guy actually to add to this debacle that I want to touch on. So I'm going to open it up with this Melky Cabrera situation. Last week we told you guys he's been suspended 50 games for testing positive for testosterone. We weren't able to get Mike's opinion. So, Mike, we're going to throw it to you first. My question is, Victor Conti, who is the Balco Bay Area steroids guy, he said if Melky Cabrera got caught, he's got to be one of the dumbest individuals out there. He believes that over half of the ball players are using testosterone. He said many current players have come to him and asked him, how to do this thing. It's supposedly very easy to hide. And I was doing a little bit of research, and I guess how this testosterone thing works is you can have up to 4 times the you can be up to 4 times over the average limit for a human being and be okay. So it's kind of like, you're doing a DUI test. You're supposed to be at a 0.08 before you're inebriated, too drunk to drive. So you can actually go, it'd be like if they allowed you to go up to 4 times a 0.08. So you can use testosterone you just can't be four times over the legal limit, so to speak. So Victor Conti is saying that you got to be an idiot to get tested. My question to you, Mike, is first of all, you can touch on Milky Cabrera if you like, but is a 50-game suspension enough? Because it seems like what Victor Conti says is believable. Players aren't really afraid of this 50-game suspension. And I should note before you jump in there that we also had another casualty today, Bartolo Colon, another Bay Area baseball player. Got hit with a 50-game suspension for testosterone. Are these players afraid of the 50-game suspension? Do we need to up it? Where are we at with this?
I think the 50-game suspension is appropriate. It's basically a third of the season. It's more harsh than what the NFL is doing, and that seems to be the standard bearer of drug policy and drug testing. The fact that the science gets better than the test and the players have the money to go ahead and invest in that, I mean, you're always going to be chasing that, constantly chasing it. So are they afraid of it? Yeah, I think there's a real stigma put on you when you go on that 50-game suspension. That's why Braun fought it so hard. So I think it's appropriate. And it really taints a player going forward, so I don't have an issue with it.
Yeah, but is it serving as a deterrent? And Hank, let me ask you this first, Hank. Do you believe Victor Conti when he says that over half the ball players are doing some form of testosterone and they're coming to him asking for advice?
Yeah, I do believe.
Is there any chance to believe him?
I think, yeah, I absolutely believe him. I don't think Victor Conti has any reason to lie. I think that what we've seen over the course of the last couple of weeks is disturbing simply because baseball has gone through this. And I have to disagree a little bit with Mike in the fact that do I believe they're afraid? I don't. I don't believe they're afraid because of all these masking agents that they are able to purchase with these contracts. They're able to get the top-of-the-line masking agents for, you know, to mask testosterone use and some of anything else. Okay, so they're just finding other ways. And when you look at baseball, and let's face it, man, you know, you're talking about home runs are still being hit 450, 60 feet. That's unheard of. You're still talking about rookies now that's coming in and doing some amazing things, okay? How many no-hitters have we seen this year? I'm not trying to, you know, say anybody's doing it. You know, it could just be all talent. But yet and still, the last time we've seen a surge in baseball of something of this magnitude was the home run race. So you have to kind of look with a crooked eye when you look at this whole thing. That's one thing. Secondly, because baseball has got a history now, they've got a whole era, you know, that's titled because of the steroids, you would think they would be a little bit stiffer. I thought 50 games would be good enough, too, until I seen what happened today. And then you have to almost take the whole season away from these guys, in my opinion, if they get caught the first time. And that's because you have to make these rules strict. You've been popped on it already. And then secondly, if you get caught again, you're out. You know, but obviously 50 games isn't enough. And because we've already had this isn't the first or the second. This is the first two of named significant players. And the older the players get, you know, when you see two players now that's trying to, recapture their careers in a Cologne and in a Melky Cabrera, you're going to probably see a lot more. So I don't think it's enough.
So Mike, do you believe Victor Conti?
Not necessarily. I think he's trying to make headlines. But I think there's a significant amount of players that are using. I believe that. I also believe that the money to hide and to mask the use is a lot more than the money being used to catch the players cheating. I would disagree slightly with Hank when he says that they're not afraid of the suspension. They are afraid of the suspension. That's why they're spending so much money on the masking agents. So to me, the problem isn't the suspension or the penalty. The problem here is going to be the testing that's going on, that obviously the science of the testing is not staying even or ahead of the tactics that the players are using to mask that they're being used. So, and if the suspension wasn't long enough, then they wouldn't care if they got caught. They'd go ahead and serve the 50 games. But they've obviously care. They're spending millions upon millions of dollars to hide this fact. To me, you just, if you want a better system, you don't do it with harsher penalties necessarily. You need a better test.
Well, no, I think I'm kind of siding with Hank here. It's not that I don't think that they're afraid of the 50-game suspension. And what I'm hearing you say, they're afraid of getting caught. They're not afraid of the 50 games. They're afraid of getting caught. So it's kind of like the old joke comedians used to say, if you want to stop, I think Chris Rock said, if you want to stop crime, make it punishable by death. If you tell me if I use steroids or I get caught, I'm going to die, I'm afraid of that. They're not afraid of 50-game suspensions. They're afraid of that being looked upon as a steroid user. So
I agree with you, too, Archie.
Yeah, I don't think 50 games is enough. If you tell me I got to sit out a whole year and I'm going to miss a whole year of paycheck,
right?
You know, they might not be using it like they are now.
Right. So I would use the metaphor of if I'm a Wild West cowboy and I'm robbing banks and the penalty for that is death, but I know the sheriff is 80 years old and he's drunk and he don't care, then the stiffest penalty in the world doesn't stop me from doing the crime. If the patrol of that crime or the policing of that crime isn't appropriate. But I get what you guys are saying. I think we kind of see eye to eye with this one way or the other. I think if you have tougher policing of it, then you'll have people who are caught more often, and therefore that'll keep them from doing it in the same way as adding, you know, a lifetime suspension or a year suspension would also hesitate some people. But if you felt like you had a foolproof method to get away from the testing, you know, does it matter what the penalty is?
Well, it seems to me like MLB did something. They changed up the test on them or something, because you got two guys getting caught in the same week. When I first heard that Bartolo Colon got caught, I said, MLB probably changed up the test, and these two idiots didn't know what was coming.
Yeah, you could be right.
You know,
and,
look at the players that's been caught, you know, it's also not surprising to me that, hey, you got Victor Conte come out saying something. You got two West Coast players, oddly enough, in the same area, the Oakland-San Francisco area, that's been popped on this. You've also got two players that's trying to, you know, resurrect their careers, if you will. And now, you know, when he says something to the effect of there's other players that's using it, don't think for a minute when you see your Mike Trouts, your, you know, Jonas Suspedises, and all these players that's coming out in their first year and they're doing damage, you know, that you've got a player like a Nick Swisher that's asking for, you know, stupid kind of money. You know, you have to ask yourself, okay, you have to do something, and they're taking what they can to continue to maintain that edge, you know, because baseball is the kind of sport that if you're not producing today, you are gone, period, you know. And, you know, I've always believed when you see some of these players, the way they look on the field and at where the ball goes and something like that, that they're doing something. I just don't think that's all weight room. I never did.
Yeah. And if I hope that this will put to rest the argument that so many guys use about, well, he doesn't look like a steroids guy. Because Bartolo Colon and Melky Cabrera are two pretty pudgy guys. I mean, not everybody that's using steroids is a musclehead. And I think that this just further goes to show that everybody can be called into question. Because these
right.
guys are very far from looking the part.
You know, we have to research on you, and we know that testosterone, the male hormone, you know, is very, you know, very strong when you're younger, and I guess it's supposed to slow the aging process. The reason why they're taking it at such high levels because it increases your stamina and increases everything that you make you feel like you did, I guess, when you were 27 years old. So these guys are trying to do that, and because your body naturally produces it, they think that they can get away with this thing. But I, you know, my kudos to Major League Baseball for figuring that out and, you know, finding a test to, you know, even, you know, catch these two guys.
So, RJ, I'm going to follow your logic here and draw it back. So according to what you're saying here, should we just make the assumption that, that Barry Bonds was just the dumbest and Mark McGwire the dumbest steroid users of all time?
Well,
so that everyone else has used.
My friend, let me correct you. Barry Bonds was never caught using steroids, was he?
That's true.
That's right. He was never positive for nothing. He just looked it.
Thank you. So fall off, my guy. And Hank, let me ask you, did you get a medical degree overnight or did you just drink a V8?
A little bit of both. You know, I've been working in a hospital for 26 years. Every now and then you rub up against somebody who knows a little something medically.
You sound like you know what you're talking about.
You know, they taught me those three things in school, reading, writing, and arithmetic.
All right. I'm impressed. Well, let me ask you this, fellas. As it stands right now, Melky Cabrera is second place for the batting average title. I think he's about 4 points behind Andrew McCutchen. If McCutchen goes into a slump and somehow it winds up that Cabrera has enough bats to win the batting average title, what do you guys do with that? Do you ignore it? Do you throw it out, or is he the winner? Where are you sitting with this one, Mike?
Wow. All right. So right now I'm trying to look up how many at bats he has, and it would be my guess that
that's no fun. Just go with the hypothetical. Let's assume that he can win it.
Fine. Well, here's the thing. If he qualifies, then yeah, he's the batting champ. So, baseball doesn't make that retroactive. They don't. They should, but they don't. So if he tested positive the day after the season ended and he was voted the MVP, he's still the MVP. So if he qualifies, he gets it until they change the rule. Do I think it's right? No, absolutely not. I don't think it's right, but what are you going to do?
So your commissioner, what do you do? You give it to the next guy up?
I don't think the commissioner has
vacant.
Does he?
No, I'm asking you, what are you going to do? You're the commissioner.
If I was the commissioner, I would have a bylaw written in the rules that said if you were suspended for performance-enhancing drugs during the year, you were not eligible for any of the major league awards or anything during that year. The problem is best batting average is not a major league award. It's just best average.
Hank, what are you doing with it?
Well, you know what? They have to give it to him if he wins it because of the way the suspension is set up right now, okay? Had he been suspended, you know, RJ, in May, and he was able to come back in a few months, and he was able to get enough batting at-bats to win the batting championship, he would win the batting championship. There's no difference here. You know, we talked about it last week. If the Giants qualify for the playoffs and they get through four games, he's eligible. So if he's still eligible to play this season, then anything that he's done this season, he's eligible for. I don't like it, but it's the way they have it going right now. You know, going forward, this is why I'm saying that going forward, it needs to hurt more because these guys, again, they come off of it. They could come back. They could basically resurrect their whole season, if you will, and it can just be a 50-game suspension. But just the only reason why this is really significant right now is because of the time of the year and where the Giants are. But if he got enough and McCutchen can't catch him, he's the batting champ.
That's no fun. Can we at least take away his All-Star Game MVP? Can we take something?
You can't do it because of the timing. What you can do is from the time that he was suspended. Unless you got proof that he was on this, and you can say, yeah, well, he was on it, or he just did one time when he was tested, you know, you can't. Again, baseball has to tighten that up because, the can of worms that they opened up with is what we're talking about right now. They need to be able to squash. They need to be able to say, if you get popped with performance-enhancing drugs, anything that you would have accomplished for this season is now null and void. They need to do that.
I really thought I knew you guys. I thought you guys wanted to boil every steroid user in hot water and take away all the records. I'm surprised.
I'll tell you something. What bothers me, and we've had this conversation, this is a whole other show. We ain't had it yet, but it's still a whole other show, about how baseball handles this situation. I mean, it's not rocket science. You know, if you pop, then you're done. But they've got all of these loose ends come up. You know, now you got the steroid era players coming up for all-star, you know, Hall of Fame consideration, and baseball is kind of like just hemming and hawing on it. Make a damn decision on all of this, and then, you know, we ain't got nothing to talk about, which would probably make this show moot, but still, you know, do something about it.
Well, let me throw this out there. I will begrudgingly admit that I actually watched ESPN First Take this morning, and I found myself agreeing with Skip Bayless on this one, but I want to throw this out there and see what you guys think about this. Bartolo Colon's been caught using steroids, bad body, having an awesome year at he's 38 maybe. And then we got Melky Cabrera, another bad body baseball player, having a stellar year. They started talking about Derek Jeter, and he's leading the majors in hits this year at up around 38 as well. And, you know, they asked, were the guys surprised? Of course, Stephen A. was not surprised. And, of course, Skip Bayless disagreed with him. And Skip actually said, you know, maybe we need to, you know, look into if Jeter's doing something. And Stephen A. thought that this was just blasphemous for you even to bring it up. I'm of the mindset that the way things are going, you can question almost anybody. I don't care how you're built, what you look like, but it seems like the guys we like, we don't want their names brought up. So I'm throwing this out there to you guys, because I think we've even seen it on this show where, you know, we may say, well, Ken Griffey Jr. may have been doing something, but everybody likes him, so nobody thinks he was. Mike, is it blasphemous to say that we need to look at what Jeter is doing, if anything?
I don't like your reasoning on this. I don't like your methodology. I think what you're doing is taking the variations in the answers that we've gotten so far. So we've got different body types. We get typically older guys, and you've used it to pollute and place doubt on every Major League Baseball player that's out there. You've basically justified accusing and making it okay for a Mark McGwire or Barry Bonds, who obviously...
Not accusing. I'm saying asking the question. I'm not saying accusing, but it's worth asking the question.
Whatever it came to, you're innocent until... Well, innocent until proven guilty by a reasonable standard, okay? And I get the logic going here. He's 38. This doesn't make a lot of sense. But now we're going to question everybody? Everybody? I mean, that's a tough way to live, man. That's a really, really tough way to live. And talk about ruining and knocking down a game when you just go into the assumption that anybody could be doing it, therefore everything's in question. That takes a lot of the fun out of it.
What about you, Hank?
Listen, you have to, because it's not policed well. We just talked about it. You have to question it. I mean, I would hate to think that Derek Jeter, you know, is using anything, you know, after the stellar career that he's had. But guess what? His teammate over there just got popped, okay? Andy Pettit, all right? So, you know, who knows? And unfortunately, I understand what you're saying, Mike, but that's the nature of the beast now with baseball. Who knows? You know, one of the most sacred records in baseball was broken by someone who we've assumed has done it. We just got to talking about Roger Clemens. Who knows? I mean, and you don't want to you don't want to say that everybody is using and you want to question everything, but you can't help it because it's still there and it's from older ball players and such as it is.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying Jeter's doing it. I'm just saying if it came out he was, I wouldn't be surprised. And I guess it does take some of the fun out of it, but I'm just not surprised anymore. I believe Victor Kazi when he says a lot of these guys are doing it because they're professional athletes and they're going to do everything they can to compete at the highest level. And
exactly.
Like I said, if you can have up to four times the legal limit, why wouldn't I believe that Jeter is doing something to get to that threshold where it's not illegal? I mean, Kobe Bryant's flying to Germany to do some kind of funny stuff with his blood so he can continue to compete. It's not out. What I'm saying is it's not far-fetched or out of the question to think these guys are doing what they have to do
to compete.
Right, and you guys have played baseball. You know, okay, these guys been playing, Derek Jeter playing 15, 16, 17 seasons, okay, at a position as demanding as shortstop. And I'm not saying he's using anything, but I'm just saying to you that you know what toll that takes on your body, especially for an older player, okay? And then all of a sudden, when you are at the twilight of your career, all of a sudden you start having career numbers and start doing something. Yeah, you're gonna have somebody question what's going on. You out playing players 10, 15, 10 years, you know, your junior. Come on. You're going to have people going to ask questions. You're a Bartolo Colon. You're a Melky Cabrera. You're just a, you know, just a marginal player. All of a sudden, you're playing decent. You're playing more consistent. What's that all about? Late in careers, not, you know, not with the natural progression of things.
Well, there it is. We've completed another RJ and Hank gang up on mic session.
I'm still coming back.
All right. Mike, if you don't have anything else, man, we'll go ahead and take it home. We want to thank everybody for listening. Please do tune in next week, same time, 9:30 Eastern, 8:30 Central. Check us out, download us on iTunes, and search Real Sports Guys. And, Hank, go ahead and take us home, brother.
Okay, now that's the ball game. Drive home safe.
Peace.